Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. I'm Konstantinos, your Chorus Call operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Banca Transilvania conference call to present and discuss the first semester 2021 financial results. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Ömer Tetik, CEO, Ms. Mihaela Nadasan, Deputy CEO, Head of Financial Institution Markets and Investor Relations, and Mr. George Călinescu, Deputy CEO and CFO. Mr. Tetik, you may now proceed.
Hello, thank you for joining us. Hope that you had your summer vacations, managed to travel a bit and enjoy the summer of 2021. We will try to give you some brief insight about Romania, Romanian banking system, and then we will go deeper in Banca Transilvania's numbers. And definitely, we'll try to answer your questions or listen to your observations. In case we will not be able to answer for any reason at this very moment, we will come back to you. Mihaela and her team will take over and come back to you. We are trying a new platform. I hope that our sound, voices are being heard well. And also the Q&A will be on an online platform, so that we will be trying something new. And let's see how it goes. As regard to macroeconomic situation, as you might be following, actually Romania is very much in line with the European and global trends, but actually in some numbers positively passing the global trends or averages, especially in the second quarter. If you looked at the numbers, the GDP of the country grew 13%. This is definitely coming from the fact that lockdowns heavily affected last year in the second quarter Romanian economy. So quarter to quarter comparison might not be very correct, but still we are expecting the economy to grow 6 to 7%, between 6 to 7% this year, throughout the year, despite the ongoing discussions, debates on the Delta variant and what might follow with the fourth wave. The macroeconomic and monetary situation is quite stable so far in Romania. National Bank of Romania maintained the policy rate. They want to see more, profound changes in the GDP structure, bigger pressures in on the inflation or the on the prices, because so far, especially in the second quarter of the year, main growth came from consumption, which grew almost 25%, and this didn't create that much of a inflationary pressures on the prices. Plus, Romania is also having its best year in terms of agricultural production. This is a year with the record production, when the prices are also relatively high in global markets, so the economy will be benefiting, but also the fact that we are not importing heavily agricultural products will help also to the local economy. The budget deficit had been growing. Now it's around 4.3% at the end of the first half of the year. And this is partially from the growth programs, partially due to the tax incentives granted, but with the EU funds, with the rebound of real economy, we will be recovering this budget deficit, hopefully. We see quite good efforts on the fiscal discipline from the government side. On the money markets and fixed income markets, we have seen that the yield curve is getting steeper. The 10-year bond yields have increased more than the short-term yields. This gives us the belief that ROBOR will be also quite stable in the next 3 to 6 months. We will be expecting a sign from the National Bank in terms of the monetary policy change. This helps definitely economic growth, lending, savings. despite the fact that savings are increasing, we see also activity in the capital markets in Romania, where the domestic stock market is at the record lows as for its Western and European and US equivalent. Banking system had been quite robust during the pandemic last year and also this year. The banking system lending had been growing quite fast, and only in June we see month to month 1.4% growth of non-governmental loan book and 11%, more than 11% growth year on year. The growth is coming definitely mostly from lei lending, and also supported by the government programs like SME Invest, Agro Invest, and so on. But the contrary to the expectations or the initial forecast early last year, the NPL ratio so far is below 4%. Banking system is well capitalized and well provisioned. And the biggest challenge remains still the financial inclusion and to increase the bankability of SMEs, smaller companies, our households, and thus to increase loans to GDP ratio, hopefully to similar levels of European Union. Deposits have been also increasing. This is a good sign that we had been mentioning also last year. Romania, until last year, entered each financial crisis or any cycle with a very high loan-to-deposit ratio, with low liquidity and dependency on liquidity from external partners and markets. But in the last couple of years, loan-to-deposit ratio went below par. Now it's actually around 68%. Although the lending activity has increased the loan-to-deposit ratio by 0.6%, which is still insignificant, still we are at very comfortable levels. And this also shows the possibility of both the households and smaller companies to meet their debt obligations to banking system or to other parties. Coming back to BT, we had been quite active last year in the governmental programs, but this year we have built our strategy that we come back to normal lending, normal banking activity. So we have seen a very strong growth in retail lending in terms of number of operations. In the company side, from micro lending up to the large corporates, actually 60% of the loan activities being supported by government programs, but 40% is our own initiatives, and we are getting more and more active when we see also when we have the real sense of the markets and see our customers, how they reacted, how they stay after almost 1.5 years of pandemics and financial crisis. So we had been over 6,200 companies this year had been obtaining grants or loans through the grants of government programs this year. The most active ones being SME Invest and Agro Invest. When you see in our presentation IMM, just read it as SME. This is our main segment. But also with the pandemic, the digitalization efforts that we had been spending has accelerated. Now we can comfortably say that almost 70% of our retail customers are digitized, so they use at least one of our digital solutions. BT Pay, our wallet application, has tripled its number of transactions. We have been launching several different options and opportunities. I don't want to bore you with all what we do there, but I guess we are kind of leading the digital transformation, digital adaptation in Romanian markets, with number of contactless payments reaching 27 million in the first 6 months, with BT Pay, our wallet, having almost 1.5 million users, and our customers using heavily our visual help and omni-channel support activities, support channels to interact with the bank. But this is also valid for company side, where we are more and more interacting or offering them alternatives to our network. On the other hand, we are also happy to see that BT's network with 100% capacity is back to work, and we are almost at the point that we will see again crowds of customers with different transactions or different requests. This is our strong point. We trust our network, and also we need their presence because they had been a driving force for our growth, and they are fully back in the front line of our financial and commercial growth. In terms of financial performance, I don't want to just read the numbers that you already have seen or might have seen, but we have delivered quite a strong profitability with, I would say, very prudent provisioning policy for the loan book. Although the decreasing interest rate monetary policy in general is putting pressure on our net interest margin, what we are maybe losing there, we had been mostly compensating from net fee and commission income, which grew very strongly. And this almost every 3 months when we are discussing with analysts and investors, this is what we say, that this was our maybe weak point. Now we are at a very reasonable and comfortable level, and we see further opportunities. So customers are doing more and more their transactions with us. Our interactions with them are becoming profitable. So this helps definitely at the end the bank to deliver almost 19% return on equity with a cost income ratio below 46%, which is quite a good practice, even if it's not best practice in this part of the region. In Romania, we are the best practice. So with 46 billion loans and 94 billion deposits, our loan to deposit ratio is at 49%. We are enjoying the trust of the customers. We are enjoying the transactional volumes and fee incomes generated by them. But definitely our focus from now on will be accelerated growth of lending book, so that we can provide more interest income for the liquidity that we have. Our capital ratio, if we include also profit, our profits for the first 6 months, is at 23.6%, and this is beyond regulatory minimum levels, beyond even our budgetary levels, and it gives quite a good positioning for organic growth, and if there will be further acquisitions, definitely M&A activity, where we are interested further on. In the our net interest income had been, if you compare first half of 2020 to first half of 2021, our interest income grew by 5%. Fee and commission income that we were mentioning grew 27%, and trading income, due to well management of our fixed income portfolio, grew over 45%. But we also see definitely the pressures on the operating expenses, especially from the human resource side. Romania, both demographically and also economically, becoming a more expensive market. But I think with some adjustments we had been doing, we are offering good conditions, good benefits to our employees, and they assure the good results of the bank that we are presenting to you. There had been some impact from postponed benefits that we were supposed to grant as per 25th year celebration of the bank early last year. Due to pandemics, we decided to postpone for prudentiality reasons. But this year, we are allocating those benefits, some special loyalty premiums to our employees who are working 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, and so on with the bank. This is mostly a one-off, of which the impact will fade in the next years to come. Our loan structure, as you know, is mainly in local currency. We are kind of naturally hedged in terms of our foreign exchange risk. And also this improves customers' payment performance, payment ability as well. And we don't see any change unless there will be a clear and precise plan to enter European Monetary Union. We will be focusing on lei. In terms of loan quality, we are our NPL par 90 is at 1.96. It's below 2%. And NPL coverage ratio, if you include also the collaterals, it's the real estate collaterals, it's close to 130%, which, as I said, is also gives us comfort that we are well provisioned and well prepared for the growth to come. In terms of liquidity, I have already explained. By the way, our presentation that we are using is the guidance now. It's already in our website. If you didn't access it, you can definitely access it now. Our strong point had been always retail banking and small business banking in Romania. Our retail loan portfolio reached 25.7 billion at the end of June 2021 with 3.1 million active customers. And only in the first 6 months of this year, we have granted over 100,000 retail loans. This comes also from the fact that both with our network of branches, POSs, ATMs, we are quite an available bank, accessible bank for them, not only through digital channels. And if we look at the digital customers, actually we have 2 million digital natives, 2 million customers using at least one of our channels as I have mentioned already. In SME banking, in small business banking, we have a loan book of 6.5 billion lei with over 350,000 customers. And last year, the boost from SME Invest, IMM Invest program had been crucial to reinvigorate and to keep alive this segment. This year, we see that all customers are already coming for their own investment or working capital needs, and the payment performances are very good. There are almost no customers left from moratorium, and if you look at the payment performances, we don't see any, let's say, alarming levels. In corporate banking, we have 11,000 customers. We have been growing also in the slightly larger tickets this year, especially in the utilities, FMCG, manufacturing, healthcare, communication, and these sectors will remain our interest together with the renewable energy. I mentioned already that our capital ratio, even if you don't include the profit of the first 6 months, is over 20%. With the profits included, it's 23.6%. And we will be continuing our growth organically. We are prepared and trained for that. But on the other hand, we are also thinking that the consolidation in Romanian financial sector will continue. So we'll be looking to maybe smaller banks, maybe to leasing companies in order to, let's say, extend our reach and to use our capital better. When it comes to sustainability, I have to admit that we have one of the best leaders of support of sustainability and ESG in Romania among us. So I would like to leave the floor to Mihaela to tell us a few words on our sustainability efforts.
Yeah, so maybe we are going to repeat part of the information which you already have seen on our website or we were publishing in previous press releases. What we have started this year is definitely to be much more vocal and much more transparent with regard to all the initiatives we were having in that respect. And the fact that we were having already since 2008 all kind of programs which were designed in order to increase energy efficiency when it comes to investment projects of our clients, of our SME clients. Then we continued with different partnership with other investment funds, also for energy efficiency, mainly when it comes to municipality projects that was started in 2012. Again, we entered also the retail side of green loans back in 2015. And what we can say now is that we expanded everything what is meaning sustainable kind of approach within the analysis of all the loan contracts we and the loan arrangements we are having now with our clients. Besides this, we are going to, or we are transforming slowly everything what is plastic in our interaction with clients into green kind of banking. So virtual cards are going to be, let's say, the drivers when it comes to the new portfolio of cards which the Banca Transilvania is offering to its clients. That's, let's say, maybe a couple of, these are a couple of details when it comes to the green, the environmental part of the sustainability topic. When it comes to the social part, only the very nice words which Omer was saying with regard to the managers of the bank are to complete the scene here. So looking at the structure of the human resources in Banca Transilvania, you are going to see that diversity and equal chances is, let's say, a practice for us for already a significant number of years, and we are going to pass this practice and these good examples also when it comes to the relationship we are having with our clients. And in this respect, through different programs, we are supporting everything what is related to women in business and entrepreneurial approaches coming from different layers of the society and trying to bring, let's say, the financial inclusion at the table each and every time when we have the chance. While for corporate governance, you have maybe seen the scorings, the ratings we were obtaining with regard to the transparency of our reports. Definitely, we are doing our best to improve everything what we are having there, not only with regard to the financial reports we are presenting, but also with regard to the entire activity of the bank and in terms of the way in which we are organizing our shareholders meetings and we are interacting with all the stakeholders of the bank. Thank you.
Thank you, Mihaela. And just before we close our presentation and switch to Q&A, We are also very happy to see the growth of our subsidiaries. Before closing the first 6 months, actually, BT Asset Management was just slightly under 5 billion lei assets under management. And if we look at the consolidated numbers presented also to you, our subsidiaries are having significant contribution. They are adding almost 350 million lei to our operating income and over 1 billion euro to our total balance sheet, to our total assets. And we see continuous potential in terms of the third pillar of the pension funds, in terms of asset management, leasing, but also our micro lending company, BT Microfinanzare, is having a tremendous performance despite all the challenges that they had. They are both they are not only growing, but they are growing profitably. These days, you might see also a couple of photos. If you look at the presentation at, throughout the corners of the pages, actually these are some pictures from our new head office. We are since June 2021, we are in our new offices. And from a couple of different buildings, we have gathered all our staff back to the new head office. It's good to see that over 80% of our personnel is coming to office, so we are working from work. And also, our personnel is enjoying the, let's say, much better conditions of the new head offices. Hopefully, when everything this craze will be over, we will be organizing maybe an investors event, and we would like to host you in our new head offices, maybe in 2022. Thank you very much. Now I would like to switch to Q&A. We will be, there is an online platform, I understand, that we will be taking questions. me, Mihaela, and Georgia will try to answer as much, as many as possible during the time we left.
The first question is from the line of Le Phong Hai Tang with Concord. Please go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we do.
Okay, thank you for your presentation. I just joined the call, so sorry if you mentioned or if you already answered my questions. So just a couple of questions from my side. The first one would be on stage two loans, because what I observed is that they increased quite a bit in the second quarter, and I was wondering if there was any special cases or if asset quality really deteriorated to that level. And then my second question would be on costs. So it seems like even on a quarterly basis, your FEREX increased as well. And I was wondering if you could elaborate on your outlook. What shall we expect in the coming quarters? And then the third one would be on NIM, whether you could elaborate on your NIM outlook for the rest of the year. Thanks.
Hi, could you repeat your third question? Because unfortunately, we were not able to get it properly. The third one, the last one.
Yes, it was on interest margins. Like, how is your outlook for the rest of the of the year? Thank you.
Okay, so I'm going to start with your first question. So maybe you remember that we were mentioning that we remained conservative in terms of provisioning policy, and this is the reason why we were shifting some exposures, looking at potential risks arising in the future, but without any kind of signs when it comes to a repayment deterioration. So this reflection is in fact also in the way in which the weight of stage two loans was growing. Otherwise, it would have been quite impossible to set aside provisions for a performing loan book. So this is for number one. For number two, the operational cost, Tomer was mentioning some details in his presentation. So definitely we are keeping them as much as possible under control. And as you know, we were always looking at the cost, not like a single item, but in correspondence with the income. So what we are controlling is the cost-income ratio, and we intend to keep it at reasonable levels. Definitely comparing it, or if we compare the figures for operational costs also with last year we were not having that much of activities. There were a lot of savings happening because of the lockdowns. So part of this growth is coming due to the savings from the base impact from last year is part of this quite high growth pace you are seeing this year. Plus, we were having that loyalty program for people working with the bank for a large number of years, which should have happened, and those fee amounts should have been paid last year, but we postponed it for this year. So plus the fact that we are continuing with all the investments when it comes to the digitalization of the bank, improving all the systems we are having, trying to improve not only the interaction with clients but also internal kind of processes and flows. So this is something what is going to continue, but definitely we are going to keep it well under control so that we are keeping the cost income ratio at levels which we committed in front of our shareholders.
Still we are, I mean, with the level at least, we would say that we are comfortable for a bank, a fast growing bank. But on the other hand, as Mihaela was saying, last year suddenly after February especially, we stopped trainings, we stopped advertisements, we stopped marketing activities, projects with consultants, several different things have disappeared from our day-to-day activity. Indeed, suddenly we had to spend some bucks on masks and gloves and plexiglasses, but they were not that significant. So it's not very, let's say, maybe fair to compare semester to semester. On the other hand, in Romania, this is the general issue, especially on the human resources side, the cost employment is increasing, and technology is not just itself a solution because it's also a costly investment, although we are heavily investing there. I guess your last question was related with the NIM. While we are enjoying our liquidity to grow from deposits, we are also very committed. We have said this a couple of times. We are not going to, at least until things will get so drastic, we don't want to quote negative interest rates to our customers' deposits. We don't want to penalize Romanians coming to a bank, trusting a bank and making deposits there. This is something that we have to develop further. This is part of the financial education. So we almost see it as our marketing cost. And we actually cover part of the expenses there from the increase in the net fees and commission income that we had been always mentioning. What we think is that both the ROBOR and monetary policy rate, most probably in the next 3 months at least, will be stable. Maybe towards the end of the year or early next year, National Bank may give the first signal of changing the direction in the policy policy rate. This will have its impact on the interest rates in general. Although it will impact the fixed income market, on the other hand, for banks like us having heavily lei loan portfolio with variable interest rates, it will also help us to increase our net interest margin. We didn't grow our assets loan book very aggressively in the last 1 year, although we are the market leader in terms of growth as well. We didn't want to be over aggressive. With every day when we have the comforts of economic data, of the financial data from our customers, we will be accelerating our lending growth, which will also have a positive impact on the NIM.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Boulouris Alexandros with Wood & Co. Please go ahead.
Hello, thanks for taking my question. I would like to ask regarding cost of risk, maybe reverting a bit to the question from my colleague previously on stage two as well. Do you still, I think in your budget and your guidance, you were assuming around 120, 130 bps cost of risk. In the first half, it has been about 50 bps and quite volatile from one quarter to another. Should we still assume this level that you have in your budget as a full year guidance? Is this still reasonable? A second question regarding fees. In your budget as well, you had a small decline year on year, but it seems that first half trends are moving well above these expectations. Maybe a reason behind this strong performance compared to your initial assumptions, that would be useful. That's all on my end. Thank you.
I will start with the second one, second question. Last year, if you may remember, during this period, we had been also, we have opened certain channels which were fee-based, commission earning, free of charge to our customers. We have postponed payments. We have, there was low activity. So definitely part of the increase is coming from the revival of the economic activity of our customers. Part of it is coming from increased volumes, but we are very attentive. I mean, this year, we are also accelerating what we, in terms of volumes and number of products, what we do on bank assurance or what type of other needs our customers have. That's why, although we will not commit to 25% growth every 6 months, we think that still there is room for double-digit growth a couple of more years to come for BT in terms of fees and commissions income, despite the challenges that we had from as regard to the decrease of interchange fees or different regulations. Still, as we grow our number of customers, as we grow in terms of account volumes and deposits, this helps us a lot. So that's why, I mean, we see the customer profitability itself, not just from the interest income point of view, we see it as a wallet itself, and we try to take the best part of this wallet for each customer who is trusting us. In terms of the cost to income, cost of risk, indeed, I mean, maybe we have made a tradition of being more prudent each year in terms of expectations. Last year and this year, all the talk was about increased NPLs and need for provisioning. So we tried to address this. There are not really too many one-offs. We had been also changing our rating models, which impacted on the upper side the cost of risk. But now we are comfortable with it. I'm not sure if we will be able to if we will be going towards 120 basis, but closing of the year will be slightly higher than where we are, between 80 to 100 basis points, I guess.
Yeah, and here just to add something, what we were also mentioning earlier this year, is that all those clients who benefited of the public moratoria are still monitored by us. Still repayment behavior is very fine, but we are waiting for the third quarter and fourth quarter prior to confirming that indeed we have passed without negative surprises the crisis generated by COVID. So this is also one of the reasons why we are not changing, let's say, the expectations when it comes to a more conservative level of provisioning. But we are going to be able to come with more details and to have a clearer picture once we are closer to the year end and we have a confirmation of the economic performance of our clients.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Petr Christian with NN Pensi. Please go ahead.
Hello, just to make sure regarding cost of risk, so you are saying around 80 to 100 basis points for the whole year? And
This would be something what we could anticipate now, looking at how the portfolios are performing. But we are not coming with any, let's say, kind of budget rectification or any changes on the budget. So it's an assumption based on the current standing of the situation.
Okay, so just to make sure, what was the estimation in the budget? 120 or something like
that? Yeah,
120. Thank you. And regarding dividends, is there any plan to distribute any dividends this year? I mean, take into account the new position of the NBR and other announcements made by other banks?
Maybe you have also seen that we have convened a shareholders meeting in order to approve a dividend topic. Definitely we were checking with authorities and we are coming with a balanced, let's say, proposal in terms of how much cash dividend we are proposing to be distributed. The shareholders meeting should take place in September and we are assuming that it is going to approve the dividend proposal prepared by the bank's management.
Okay, I got it. I see it now. Okay, thank you.
Thank you as well.
The next question is from the line of Nellis Simon with Citibank. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi. Thanks very much for the call. I'm going to ask, I think, a question I usually ask, which is, how can you have such high income and other income exceeds your income this quarter? Is that sustainable? That'll be my first question. And the second question will just be on M&A.
Sorry, can you repeat the first question because we lost the line? I mean, how can we have what? We couldn't catch that. Sorry.
Such high trading and other income. I think your trading and other income is in excess of your fee income this quarter.
I said you have one more question.
Yeah, my other question was just on M&A. There were some press reports that you're finalizing a transaction to buy Getin's business in Romania. Can you just share us the logic of that transaction and what it can bring to you and any other kind of potential transactions that might be there?
Sure, I will try to answer the first question. No, I mean, definitely we are, due to our liquidity, important part of our balance sheet is in fixed income. We are not trading too much or significantly out of Romania exposures, but Romania has been trending well. Our treasury has been managing well. When we managed to catch, based on our know-how, experience, our connectiveness to the local market, when yield curve was moving, we did the right moves, so that it helped us with the trading income. In the other income, it's mostly, if you look at our balance sheet, actually a long portfolio, most of it is coming from recoveries, usually, either asset sales or other types of recoveries. But this is not something we can predict. We are not trying to make our budget, but it had been quite stable. I hope this answered the first part of your question.
And there are also some revaluations of some investments which are going through the P&L. The majority of our T-bills is being reevaluated through the equity, but there are also some positions which are going to the P&L, and they also positively contributed to the other income position.
And then, as regard to the Idea Bank, actually, it is a different type of acquisition that we did. Until now, what we have done was either portfolio buying or going towards bigger market shares. On the other hand, we have liked both the team in Idea Bank and what they manage, because in a couple of problematic years, they had been quite good survivors, creative. They did establish a good flow, a good know-how in leasing and creating some receivables from leasing, which their bank was financing. So we would like to obtain this structure, people, and know-how from them. But also, we are now assessing very carefully, thoroughly, to follow maybe the footsteps of several other bigger banks who did it in the Western Europe, having a separate digital bank, a separate digital banking entity. We are trying to see who did what kind of mistakes and what worked, what functioned. Our digital banking, digital transformation strategy had been always the best early adapter. I mean, we, as a local group, we don't think that in banking you can really easily innovate new products or services. We can innovate procedures, flows, the type how you service your customers. And we are looking from Singapore to Canada to all the best practices. We have kind of an idea about what to do. If we will get the necessary approvals, at the end we will be addressing also Romanian diaspora, Romanians living abroad, which is, we are speaking about a couple of Romanians living abroad. But this is not the only target. It will be a fully digital bank without physical presence, because we don't need a smaller BT. We have already Banca Transilvania. But we think that a simpler, easier to deal with bank might address a part of the customer segment who might have reluctance working with BT.
And just in terms of phase, we have submitted all the requests for approval to all the regulatory bodies in Romania. So we are now just waiting to receive their approval, and then closing can have take place.
We are expecting the closing to take place towards the end of mid to end of last quarter of this year. I mean, in October, November actually earliest.
Sounds interesting. Okay, well, thanks for that. Actually, yeah. one more from me, if I could. Could you just update us on the Moldovan situation, how the business is going, and any steps forward in terms of your court issue there?
Yeah,
your legal issue.
There had been some, I guess, good political news maybe from Moldova, although we are not in this segment of the country. On the, I mean, we think that there will be some transformation adapting to Western European standards, norms of business making. We haven't been in the court yet. Our file had been dragged for quite a long time. We are trying to get more information about what and when will be happening. On the other hand, the bank itself is fully operational, decently profitable. Our colleagues are doing a very good job there, launching new products. Actually, Victoria Bank had been pioneer in launching new housing loans, credit cards, wallets, credit card structures, contactless payments. Just during last 18 months, we had been doing, with the help of BT Capital Partners, our investment banking boutique, and together with Victoria Bank, we had been doing bond issuances for small municipalities. So actually, there is a kind of a parallel universe that the bank is doing its business in accordance with the planned strategy with quite encouraging numbers. On the other hand, there is this litigation which doesn't progress. We are expecting now things to settle down, to see the changes, and then we will try to contact authorities to move to a certain, to any direction, to a more clarity, because as you are asking, maybe every quarter when we have these calls, we are asking almost daily. We are also reporting to our regulatory bodies in Romania. That's something that's creating a discomfort for us.
Understood. Thank you very much.
On the other hand, the bank is doing quite well.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Brzoza Robert with PKO BP Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, everyone, and thank you very much for the presentation. Obviously, by now, most of my questions have been answered, so a quick few follow-ups, if I may. First, on the internet bank, I couldn't hear clearly. Did you say that you're going to apply for a separate banking license and to open a separate, so to say, web-based bank? So that's first question. Second question, on OPEX and employee remuneration, could you say how much of the quarterly increase in costs was related to those one-off, the bonuses being paid out? And whether the remainder is a sort of a expected run rate for the remainder of the year, or do you still expect to further raise wages in the second half of the year in Romania? On dividends, the third question, would you be willing, as you said, there are M&A opportunities rather in the middle-sized banks available. So compared to the historic payout, would you say it's possible that you would raise the dividend payout ratio, say, next year and going forward? And finally, my last question on the cross-cycle expected cost of risk. I believe you stated recently it's around 100 bips in the medium term. Did it change somehow? Did it perhaps improve as it was the case in other regional banks? So that's from me. Thank you.
I guess I remember, I tried to note all the questions, but in case we will skip anything, please ask again. As regards to the digital, the online bank, it will be, the bank will definitely, we don't need to apply for a new banking license because we We are waiting for the approvals of acquisition of Idea Bank. So once we have the approvals, actually we have that banking license. But definitely we have to convince the regulatory body and all the controlling bodies that we will be able to manage two banking licenses for different niches or for a new niche, at least with the new banking license. And indeed, as I said earlier, if we do a digital bank, we want it to be really digital. So we don't want to be a bank which is also offering digital services or channels. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense for us to have another traditional bank like ourselves. That's something, and we will be. This is something that we can share more plans and clarity only after we close the transaction, hopefully in the last quarter of this year, towards the end of the year, and then we will come back with our plans. But there are several examples of it in Western Europe, in Canada, in US, where big banking groups have a smaller entity which is doing full banking through a separate entity. This is the roadmap that we are, I mean, if I can give you a hint, this is the hint actually.
So in a way, you're already acquiring an existing online infrastructure and a new banking license as well.
We are acquiring a bank on which we would like to embed, I mean, if our plans will function, if everything will be okay, we will be after the closing. Again, I have to make a lot of disclaimers here. Once we have the approvals and we have the closing, we will be moving the traditional bank, the traditional Idea Bank with its personnel, with its people and portfolios to BT, and the empty shell, the banking license that we will keep there, we will build upon it.
Right.
Okay, the next question was with regard to employee remuneration and what would be, let's say, the expected run rate in terms of growth. So on a yearly basis, you might have seen that we were definitely increasing the salaries of our staff, at least with the inflation. And then we were having a couple of years in which we were having shift, let's say, when it comes to the structure of the staff, employing more people, more specialized people, IT specialists, or data mining kind of specialist. So that kind of trend is going to definitely continue. So what we are seeing or what we are foreseeing like normal growth rate for our staff cost is somewhere around 6-7% as the run rate for staff related costs.
And what was the impact of the bonus, please, if you can share it?
Figure wise, there were like 42 million.
It's less than 10 million euros.
Yeah, exactly.
Not less than 10 million euros.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay. Then with regard to the dividend, I'm not sure we were capturing well
but,
your question.
This loyalty bonus is related with 25th year of the bank, granted to people having 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years with the bank. So it's not a recurrent event, just another disclaimer from me.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, and okay, then with regard to the dividends, somehow we were not really getting your point in that respect. So
yeah.
We were always mentioning that dividends are going to be paid out depending on the growth expectations of the bank, definitely looking also at M&A possibilities and making sure that we are not having the bank inefficient by keeping too much capital in the bank. So a combination of an expected return on equity and a minimum acceptable from the management perspective of the capital adequacy ratio.
On top of which, where we have also EBA, European Banking Authority and National Bank of Romania's prudential guidance regulations, which may come as they did in the last 12 months. There might be restrictions or strong recommendations that we have to comply with. So it's not a good time to give a dividend, cash dividend guidance, but And if we will also manage to meet our expectations to grow in an accelerated manner, we still have enough capital, more than enough capital. If things will go south and there will be pressure on the loan portfolio quality, we are having a lot of excess capital that we don't need to tap the shareholders. But on the other hand, which is our base case scenario and that we believe in, that things go back slightly to normality. We grow still our loan book close to double digit levels on a yearly basis. Still there will be quite good room because we are creating enough internal capital to pay cash dividends. But for 2021-2022, we should be discussing when we have more clarity, not to give a misguidance to anyone.
Mm-hmm. And then your last question was with regard to the cost of risk. And yes, for the time being, we are keeping that expectation that across the cycle, cost of risk is somewhere between 100 and 120 basis points.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you as well.
We would like to take the last question, if possible, and then further questions, please do not hesitate to address our investor relations addresses or us directly. Let's have the last question, please.
The next question is from the line of Petr Christian with NN Pensi. Please go ahead.
Hello. Can you comment a little bit on the net interest margin outlook and how do you see, the end of the year and following quarters? Thank you.
So we were trying to address this this topic also earlier. Definitely looking at the high liquidity we are having, but also at the growth potential in the market. We can say that this level of the net interest margin is more or less a minimum floor, and that to the extent the reference rate is going to potentially grow closer to the year end or beginning of next year, and definitely we are not foreseeing any kind of additional rate cut. This is a minimum from which we can see just, let's say, a growth related to the net interest margin. This is also connected to the way in which we trust that the loan to deposit ratio is going to improve, becoming a little bit more more efficient. Right now we are below 50, and this means that we do have a lot of liquidity which we have to manage. But clearly, as the economic expectations for Romania are improving and we are forecasting GDP growth of 7-6% on a couple of years basis, also the level of new lending should be on a growing path, and this will trigger a more efficient balance sheet and definitely also improved net interest margin.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are no further questions at this time. I will now turn the conference over to management for any closing comments. Thank you.
Thank you very much for bearing with us, listening to us. I hope that we managed to clarify some of the questions. But as I said, if you have any other observations or remarks or questions, please do not hesitate to contact us. We are looking forward to come back to you once we have the third quarter results available. There will be more maybe news also as regard to Idea Bank or the year-end numbers guidance. And we will be, as you know, beginning of September, we have our General Shareholders Assembly upon which we will be providing some more news to you, and if needed, we can also organize a call. I hope that all of you will stay safe and take care of yourselves. I'm looking forward to meet most of you, every one of you, at the investors conferences that we used to have in different weird parts of the world. Hope that in 2022 we will have this chance. Thank you very much.